We are live on The Circle in downtown Indianapolis. Hope you're having a nice Saturday morning. Welcome into Pacers Weekly. It's presented by PetSmart. If you are in town for the NCAA tournament, we welcome you to Indianapolis. Perhaps this is round two for you after last weekend went well. We certainly hope that your squad continues to have some success here today. And who knows, maybe if they have a lot of success this weekend, we'll see you back for round three and the final four next weekend. The Pacers are playing well. They've won four of their last five games. They've won four of five for the first time since the first five games of the season. That started back when we were talking to you last weekend. Last Saturday, they had just beaten Miami, a 27-point win. Still perhaps the best win of the season. The Pacers then on Sunday got an overtime win at Miami. They fell in Milwaukee in an odd game where Giannis did not play for the Bucks, but for the Pacers, no Malcolm Brogdon or Miles Turner. Then on Wednesday, the Pacers snapped their six-game home losing streak to Detroit. Caris LeVert hitting the signature shot of that game. A step-back three clinched it for the Pacers. And then last night in Dallas, no Kristaps Porzingis, but the Pacers won handedly, 109-94. They outscored Dallas by 8 points in the fourth quarter. So the type of performance where if he plays Doncic, perhaps you have a closer game, but in a 15-point win, this would have been a challenging game for Dallas. Either way, the Pacers playing some of their best ball of the year as they round out the month of March. That feels significant because March, at least on paper, looked to be the most challenging month of the season. The Pacers had 10 road games, only 4 home games, and those road games included at Philadelphia, at Denver, at the Lakers, at the Suns, at the Denver Nuggets. They played Miami twice on the road, and then at Dallas last night. They also had a home game. One of their 4 home games sandwiched in there was against the Brooklyn Nets. So this has been just a gauntlet of a schedule. And the Pacers have done okay. They started the month 3 games under 500. They're now 2 games under 500. So they have, at least so far, survived the month. They will then look, hopefully, to start picking up some ground here as they get ready to begin April, which will begin on Friday, but a couple of games before we get there. That includes a Monday game at Washington, taking on the Wizards. The Wizards got off to a terrible start, then got red hot, and have fallen back some. But Bradley Beal, Russell Westbrook, one of those games that you look at the record, you know they haven't had a great year. Washington is 15-28 on the season, but when you got a couple of players like that, and especially Beal, you never write off a game like that, especially one on the road. And then the Pacers return home on Wednesday to take on the Miami Heat. That closes out the month of March. That's a significant one. The Pacers, with that sweep in Miami, clinched the tiebreaker. But this is how quickly things can change in a crowded Eastern Conference. On Friday last week, 8 days ago, Indiana was in 10th position in the East, and Miami was in 4th. That seems like a big gap, and there are a lot of teams between those two. But in just 8 days' time, Indiana has gone from 10th to a tie for 8th, and Miami has gone from 4th to a tie for 8th. Yes, the Pacers and Heat are tied. 8 days ago, 4th and 10th, and today they are tied for 8th, and things are still extremely jam-packed in the Eastern Conference. Indiana is just 2 games behind 4th place Charlotte. So stands to reason, if Indiana can roll off a few wins here, can have a good month of April, having a home court first round playoff series is far, far, far from out of the picture. In fact, the Pacers could get even closer by the end of the month. As Indiana sits at 21-23 on their season, the Pacers, by the way, are one of 7 teams in the Eastern Conference with a positive point differential. They've scored more points than they've given up this year. Indiana will look to continue their recent stretch of good play, as I said on Monday, a rare weekend without a game, but you know, the college basketball tournament is in town. The Pacers have been on the road in large part because of that for a majority of the month. And if there ever was going to be a weekend where you didn't play, this one makes a lot of sense. So Monday at Washington, 7 o'clock tip. We'll start right here at 6:30. And then on Wednesday against the Miami Heat, a game against a team that you are battling for. You've already won home court advantage. You've won the tiebreaker, I should say, against if you finish with the same record as them, but certainly will be a key one. That's a 7 o'clock tip. We'll start right here at 6:30 on the radio pregame show. 6:30 on Fox Sports Indiana 2. But would love to have you there for that one or Friday night's game against Charlotte. Charlotte right now sits in fourth. There's a lot of ping-ponging going on between these teams. So Charlotte, they might not be in that position once we get to that game, but it certainly stands to reason the next couple of home games are significant. Then the one after that, Tuesday, April 6th against Chicago. They're the team right now behind Indiana. So plenty of chances to catch important games at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. Coming up, Pacers.com/tickets is how you can do that. We've got a busy show coming up for you a little bit later. We're going to hear from Jeremiah Johnson and Eddie White. JJ joins us live. Eddie White goes around the house and normally we tease and we don't necessarily preview who Eddie has until we get a little bit closer, but he's with the mayor, Joe Hogsett, so you're going to want to stay around for that interview as he, of course, talks Final Four and everything about the city of Indianapolis, which is in the spotlight right now, of course, due to the NCAA tournament and the Final Four coming up. We'll also hear from a couple of players after last night's win, the head coach Nate Bjorkgren, and we'd love to hear from you as well. 317-239-1070, the number to call in, chat Pacers basketball with us. I'm at Pat Boylan Pacers on Twitter if you prefer that method. We will tip off this show right after the break with the head coach, Nate Bjorkgren. He's with Pacers radio play-by-play announcer Mark Boyle. Their conversation is next. This is Pacers Weekly presented by PetSmart. Welcome back to Pacers Weekly presented by PetSmart. I'm Pat Boylan. A rare weekend off for the Pacers. They will be in action again on Monday against Washington. Then Wednesday is the next home game against the Miami Heat. Would love to have you on our radio coverage, on our television coverage, or ideally, if you can, on Wednesday in person. Pacers.com/tickets, socially distant and health and safety protocol tickets are available by visiting Pacers.com/tickets. Let's start things off with Mark Boyle. He's with Pacers head coach Nate Bjorkgren.
Thank you, Pat. The Pacers continue to play some impressive basketball lately, Nate, and we'll get to that in just a minute. But I'm curious as to how you reacted yesterday to all of the changes that happened around the league. It seemed like there were dozens and dozens of players switching teams. What were you thinking as you were watching and listening to that?
Yeah, there was a lot of activity, like you mentioned. You know, it's, and I think that's really good for the league. You know, the league has so many great players and great teams and gets great attention. And it's just a testament to how great, you know, that these players are and the movement around the league and the teams want to look at different players. And it was interesting. You know, I really, you know, just looking at it, I expected it to be pretty busy, you know, to answer your question. I know I love my guys here to the fullest, so I'm glad I got every one of them still with us here today. But it was a busy day.
You've been involved in this before as an assistant coach, but this is your first time as a head coach. And I'm curious as to the role of a head coach in what can be a very stressful time. As you say, you have your guys, nothing happened, but no one knows that until the deadline passes. How do you approach trade deadline in terms of making sure your players are informed, comfortable, or less stressed?
Yep, you have to approach it like a positive thing, which it is. You know, I'm sure, you know, that the trade isn't for me. That's the front office. You know, they'll ask my opinion on some things, but my job is just to coach the team and to coach these players. And like you said, to communicate with the players. So, you know, you gotta turn it into a positive thing. I think there were a number of teams calling and asking about our players, which is a good thing. You know, that our players are having, there's a number of players on this team that are having career years, you know, so they're getting more and more attention, and there's players on this team that are doing great things. So you just have to take that to your advantage and be positive with them, and they just have to keep playing hard and practicing hard, and nothing changes for them in that fact. If they get traded, you know, they know that they were loved on the current team that they were on, and they're going to be loved on the next team that they go to. But as a head coach, you stay positive with it and keep coaching your guys, and everything will work itself out.
Let's move on, Nate, to recent developments leading into this two-game road trip that started Friday in Dallas and continues next week in Washington. The Pacers have put together a stretch where they'd won 3 out of 4, 2 of those in Miami, 1 of those in overtime, and then the Detroit game the other night snapped a long home court losing streak. So a lot of good things happening. Other than the wins themselves, what pleases you most about this recent run?
Just the togetherness of our team, you know, the togetherness of our guys. We've had different guys step up at different times. You know, recently it was, you know, Edmund Sumner and Caris LeVert, and other times it's going to be Domas, and then it's Miles and Malcolm and Justin Duck. I mean, you could go all the way up and down this roster. And the guys really support each other. You know, they're playing hard for each other. They share the basketball. You mentioned those, you know, the 3 out of 4 were really sharing it very well. I think there was a game we had 35, 36 assists. I mean, it's the way they're playing hard for each other. That's what you ask for as a coach, and it's fun to be around.
In those recent games, you won a game in overtime. You had a nice stretch run in the Detroit game, so those are encouraging developments. Caris LeVert, whom we've talked about before, continues to excel. You gave him the ball at the end of regulation in that second Miami game. He hit a big 3 down the stretch to help the Pacers get to the finish line against Detroit. Are you seeing him getting more involved in the offense as time goes on?
Yeah, absolutely. I think even to start games, sometimes Malcolm will bring it up. Sometimes Caris will bring it up. You have two point guards out there, you know, that are very versatile with the ball, and two shooting guards in those two guys that can come off screens and hit shots and make plays, turn in the corner as well. So yeah, you're going to see him. You're going to see Caris get his legs under him more and more. You're going to see him, you know, continue to develop and grow, you know, with our team more and more, and a lot of good things are coming.
Let's close with a thought on the rotation, specifically the recent contributions of Edmund Sumner and Goga Bitadze. They've both been there the whole time, but they've been in and out of the rotation, in lately, and making significant contribution. How have they gotten to the point where they were struggling to get into the rotation to the point now, Nate, where they're not only in it, but contributing?
Yeah, you know, through the course of the season, you'll have things like that. Like, you make a good example with Edmund. You know, he started earlier, or he didn't play early in the year. Then he started. Then he was like 6th or 7th man coming off the bench there, you know, with TJ. And then he started again. And now he's in a good role there coming off the bench, where he's really active on defense, really flies up and down the court. And, you know, in that Detroit game, you know, just having that barrage of points there, that was really a big momentum shifter for our team. So he's doing nice things. And Goga's got to keep running the floor, keep rebounding and defending, and he's doing a great job at all three of those things. He does a really nice job of protecting the rim, you know, with his great length, and he uses that length when he plays. So sometimes it's 3 minutes for Goga, sometimes it's 18, 19 minutes for Goga. They just have to always be ready, and they know that. You know, I communicate that with them.
Pacers coach Nate Bjorkgren, kind enough to spend some time with us on a Saturday morning, as he often does during the course of the regular season. The Pacers, with a brief two-game road trip that started Friday in Dallas, continues Monday in Washington, and then back home for consecutive games with Miami and Charlotte. I'm Mark Boyle. Let's go back to our studio and Pat Boylan.
Mark and Nate, thank you. There's the head coach's perspective. When we return, let's hear from the players, Malcolm Brogdon and Miles Turner, off of Indiana's win last night. Both were really strong. Brogdon with 22 points. He did that on 13 shots, hit 6 three-pointers. Miles Turner had 9 points, but he had 7 blocks. It's his third game with 7 or more blocks this year. There have been 6 in the NBA, and Turner has 3 of them. He's got the NBA's blocks lead, and he is continuing to widen his gap. We'll hear from those two, Brogdon and Turner, when we return. This is Pacers Weekly, presented by PetSmart. Welcome back to Pacers Weekly, presented by PetSmart. I'm Pat Boylan. We're live on the Circle in downtown Indianapolis. Welcome into the city if you are here for the NCAA tournament. Perhaps it is your first time here. You watched your squad make it to the Sweet 16 and figured you couldn't miss another game. Best of luck this weekend, and we hope, if things go really well, to see you here for the Final Four next weekend. The Pacers have won 4 of 5. They've got Washington on Monday and then Miami on Wednesday. Washington on the road, Miami at home. Pacers.com/tickets is how you can be there if you can't. 6:30 right here on the Kroger pregame show. 6:30 on Fox Sports Indiana with Jeremiah Johnson. He joins us a little bit later in this show. Miles Turner had 7 blocks last night. He's had 5 blocks or more in 4 of his last 6 games. I asked Turner after the game, do you feel like this is your best stretch defensively that you've had all year?
Quite possibly. I had that stretch at the beginning of the season where I was getting 8 blocks and whatnot. And I think that, for me, it's not necessarily just about the blocks. It's just the impact, the presence I have out there. The blocking shots is what shows up in the stat sheet, but my ability to switch out on guards, control the paint, and have my impact everywhere, my presence being felt. That's really all I care about, and it's been working for me.
Yeah, Miles, has consistency been something that you've kind of focused on this year, regardless of what's going on in the offensive end, making sure that you're making your presence felt night in and night out?
Yeah, most definitely. I feel like in years past, I put too much pressure on myself to go out there and put all my focus on my offense and let the defense come where it should be the other way around. I put all my focus on my defense, let the offense come as it may. We have a lot of talented guys on this team, and offensively, I know what I'm capable of. I know I'm talented enough to go out there and score, but I want to make my impact known on the defensive end. That's where I'm trying to leave. Hang my head. Yeah, no, it definitely is. We went through 1-5 switching tonight, and it's not something we've done a lot in the past. But it started off a little shaky, but what the switching does is it forces us to talk, it forces us to communicate, and I think that's what got better as the game progressed, as the game went along. So I was a fan of it. We might do it some more, we might not, who knows. But I think our ability to switch defense, our ability to communicate is what's going to send us over the top.
Yeah, Miles, you've won 4 of 5 now. Do you feel like this team is starting to play the way you felt that you've been capable of playing?
We're getting there. I think that we still have some things to work out in a sense, but I think we're getting a lot better at than when we started the season. And we got a ways to go. We still got, 30-something games left.
That's Miles Turner. Malcolm Brogdon, after the game, was asked about where he's seen the most growth in this recent stretch. The Pacers have won 4 of their last 5.
Man, just sticking with it, trusting each other, the ball movement, and getting stops when we needed them. They made their run. They got back in the game. And we, got back on track with our defense and being active. And offensively, we move the ball and push the pace.
Hey, Malcolm, you've won 4 of 5 now. Do you feel like this team is starting to play the way you feel that you guys are capable of playing?
Yeah, I don't think we've scratched the surface. So, we're trying to improve every game. That's what it's about. We're not going to come out tomorrow and play a perfect game. But we can come out tomorrow and play better than we did the last time. And that's the goal every night.
Malcolm, you came back in the fourth quarter and hit a couple big threes. You look at your stat line. You played less than 30 minutes tonight. I know some other guys are playing well. Is that kind of key, I guess, going forward, that maybe you're not burning yourself out as much early in the game, and you individually, you're able to finish stronger, and that you guys can have better results in games like this?
Yeah, I think that's the beauty of having Karis back and having that second, dominant scorer at the guard position on the floor. It takes pressure off of me. It takes pressure off of Domas and everybody else. So, I don't have to go out there and score a lot at the beginning of the game. I can play in the sort of the pace of the game and get the ball moving and get other guys going.
Yeah, Miles had 7 more blocks tonight. How big a lift is it to have that consistency defending the rim?
Huge. I think that's what people don't talk about with our team is Miles and his impact. I think his impact is astronomical. People don't talk about it. He's the reason our defense is so good. His ability to block shots, it deters people from even driving to the rim. So, he's defensive player of the year. I'm definitely going to start pushing that, because he should be defensive player of the year. He is. I just hope it's not a political award or he will win it.
It seems like you guys, in terms of when you double, when you don't, when you stay in gaps, and it looks like you guys were kind of giving them their bigs against some of your smaller guys in the post to try to bait them into twos and take away the threes. Like, how's that kind of all evolved, I guess, over these last few weeks?
I think our team is learning each other defensively. We're learning how to scramble, how to get back in front of the ball, and I think we're just playing well. I think we're starting to understand as a group, and now that we have Karras back, we're understanding defensively. That's where we can really make our stamp. That's where we're going to win a lot of games, just getting stops. And, you know, I think, for the, this 48 minutes, we had five guys on the floor at all times that were committed to playing defense. So we got to continue that.
That's Malcolm Brogdon, who had 22 points last night. He hit 6 3-pointers, including a couple of key ones down the stretch. Dallas had 3 different runs last night to cut the deficit down to 4. And each time the Pacers responded, they absorbed that run and then were able to extend it themselves, which is significant. The Pacers had fallen victim in late February and early March to a lot of massive runs from their opponent, but they've done a better job of mitigating those lately. Indiana has won 4 of their last 5. They're now 13-11 on the road. That's a really solid road record. You consider the best team in the Eastern Conference is Philadelphia. They're 13-9. Milwaukee is 11-9. So you are more than keeping pace with what you need to do on the road. For the Pacers, it's all about picking up that home court, which feels weird to say. Bankers Life Fieldhouse is as big of a home court advantage, I think, as anywhere around the NBA. And the Pacers have been terrific in their own building. We know in this pandemic era, without full buildings, that home court advantage is lessened some, but the Pacers at 8-12 at home, certainly going to be looking to get that headed in the right direction with just over a month and a half left in the regular season. Indiana's 21-23. They're tied for 8th and just 2 games out of 4th in the Eastern Conference. I'm Pat Boylan. This is Pacers Weekly. We will continue in a moment. We bring Mark Boyle back. This time he's with former Pacer and current analyst. You see him on TV. You hear him on radio. He does a little bit of everything. He's Eddie Gill. And he joins us next on Pacers Weekly, presented by PetSmart. Welcome back to Pacers Weekly, presented by PetSmart. I'm Pat Boylan. Jeremiah Johnson joins us live a little bit later. Eddie White goes around the house with the mayor in just a bit. But it's time for Mark Boyle to join us for a second time. He is with former Pacer, current analyst Eddie Gill.
Thank you, Pat. Before we get to the Pacers, let's talk about the trade deadline. A flurry of activity, more teams than not getting involved, including some of the teams that the Pacers are competing for position with in the Eastern Conference. Did you see anything that jumped out at you in terms of teams that the Pacers will be fighting with for positions that may have strengthened themselves?
Yeah, I think the biggest one is the Chicago Bulls. I thought they did a great job acquiring Nikola Vucevic. He's a guy who's really going to help. Obviously, we've seen what Zach LaVine has done, really growing his game offensively, doing just about everything for that team in terms of his stardom, scoring it, assisting it, putting up huge games, and then you add a big guy like that who can really get it done in the paint, outside. I think that team has really thrust themselves into the playoff picture. They're going to be a team to contend with throughout the rest of the season.
Before we get on to Pacers stuff, I want to get your perspective on this. The trade deadline, I think, for fans is very exciting, very interesting, but you've seen it from a different perspective. You've been a guy that could be traded, could be released, could be X, Y, or Z. So you've had some stressful trade deadlines. How do players deal with this?
I think in my experience in the teams that I've been on, guys make, to some degree, try to make light of it. You know, they know it's part of the business, even though it does have a tremendous impact on themselves. If they have a family, obviously, that's even a greater impact if you really have to pack up and move your family and those types of things. So, for the most part, people are aware of it. By no means, you're not going into this thing blind. So, you know about it, you talk about it a little bit, but try to make light of it and just go about your business every day and play those games as they're coming. If you get traded, guys try to handle it professionally and move on.
The Pacers recently announced, Eddie, that T.J. Warren would be out for the rest of the season. I don't know that that was necessarily a shock, although we were all hoping he'd be back toward the end of the season. Does that, do you think, make any kind of a difference in terms of the way they plan for the rest of this year?
I think the best thing is that you have closure now. You know where you're at. You're not wondering, hey, when is TJ coming back in a month? Is he coming back in 2 months? Will he be back just before the playoffs? The positive about it is you have some closure. You know what you're dealing with. And now this team that you have at hand, you can focus on how can you win games with this team, not necessarily preparing for TJ Warren to return. As much as you would love that to happen, that clearly isn't the case right now. So I think you look at it as a positive realm, and there's some closure there, and you can move on.
We're moving toward the end of March now. This has easily been, I think it's fair to say, the most challenging part of the schedule. And the Pacers have had some successes lately, most recently, for example, the 2 wins in Miami.
snapped the home court losing streak against Detroit and so forth. How would you evaluate the way they've handled this really difficult stretch of schedule?
I think they've done well. They started off on the rough end of it, and it looks like it was going to go the wrong direction. But they did salvage, I think, that particular stretch with a couple wins here late to really get back on the winning track and try to just knock some of that, you know, bad feeling off. Because obviously, when you get in that space, losing isn't fun. It doesn't feel good. And as those losses accrue, you feel a little bit worse about yourself. So winning heals everything, and they were able to secure some of those and just continue to try to regain that momentum.
We've talked from time to time about what might be realistic with this team, and now as we move closer to the end of the season and get a better picture in terms of health, no T.J. Warren, for example, we see what Caris LeVert is and how he fits into the mix. We see what some of these other teams have done. A, do you expect the Pacers to make the playoffs? And B, do you think they could still challenge for a home court?
I do think they make the playoffs. I really love what I've seen here lately with Caris LeVert. I think he's regaining some rhythms, got his wind, his legs look good. I love the combination of he and Malcolm Brogdon in the backcourt, two guys who can close a game out, two guys who can create offense and also get stops on the defensive end, which is critically important as you start to approach the playoffs. Whether they can jump into that top four is going to be a challenge. They've definitely created an uphill scenario to get into that top four. I never want to say that, you know, a team can or can't do anything. I think there's a possibility, but having said that, it's going to be some real work. I think they are a playoff team, but getting in that top four may be a challenge.
That's Eddie Gill. He shows up from time to time on Saturdays. You can also see him on a nightly basis on is it still Fox? Has it changed yet?
It's on its way, but right now we are Fox, but at the end of the month it will be Bally Sports Indiana.
All right, and Eddie's with us from time to time on radio. He'll be with us on Wednesday, Pacers vs. Heat. Let's go back to Pat.
Eddie and Mark, thank you. We're going to take a quick break and trade one Eddie out for another. This time it will be Eddie White. He goes around the house and... Well, the thing you love about having Eddie on this show is if there's somebody important in the city or perhaps that has come to the city, a major event, oh, there seems to be a few of those right now. Eddie White almost always is able to track them down. He's had a slew of great guests lately, and he's got the mayor. When we return, Eddie White around the house with Joe Hogsett. That's next. This is Pacers Weekly presented by PetSmart. Live on the Circle in downtown Indianapolis, this is Pacers Weekly presented by PetSmart. I'm Pat Boylan. Jeremiah Johnson joins us a little bit later, and he will join us live. Would love to hear from you as well, 317-239-1070. I'm at Pat Boylan Pacers on Twitter if you prefer that method. Let's go around the house now with Eddie White.
Thanks, Pat. It is once again time to go around the house. Now, this guy, we usually get him once a year. I didn't think we'd have a chance to get him this month. No way we get him this month, because when you talk Big Kahuna, he is the Big Kahuna when it comes to the city of Indianapolis. And is this city shining bright this month? Holy smokes. Yes, his honor, the Big Kahuna, the mayor of the great city of Indianapolis, Joe Hogsett. Mayor, welcome and good morning. How are you?
I am fine. I'll tell you, we're in the middle of one of the most exciting months in our city's history, and couldn't come at a better time, Eddie, given the fact that for the last 12 months, we've been fighting this global pandemic. But I think that this event and basketball has taken center stage. It's giving Indianapolis an ability to show itself, as everyone knows us to be, a great convention, hospitality, and sports city. And it makes us, maybe we can lead the country back out of the pandemic this way.
Now, I got to assume something. You should never assume. But behind the mask, we're both wearing masks, you have to have the biggest smile in the city of Indianapolis right now. Last weekend was spectacular. A long weekend, a Thursday to Friday to Saturday. And, you know, and everybody was, Hinkle was shining. The fairgrounds were shining. Lucas Oil, of course, here at Bankers Life. And then today, we start another glorious weekend of basketball. In the eyes of the basketball world are on your city.
Yeah, that's so true. And frankly, Eddie, as you know, it actually started before March Madness, because the Farmers Coliseum was the place where semifinal and final Horizon League men and women's championships were played. Obviously, the Big Ten men's and women's championships at Lucas Oil and here at Bankers Life were played. So even before the play-in games, the four play-in games last Thursday night, we'd already had a full week of basketball. And you're absolutely right. Pacers, are playing throughout this entire period, and we're cheering for them. We've got the Sweet 16 coming up. We've got the Elite Eight next Monday and Tuesday night. And then on Final Four weekend, we'll also crown, as you just indicated, four new IHSAA boys state basketball champions.
How special is that for you? You love basketball. Yeah. You played high school basketball in the state. That next Saturday, a week from today, while the Final Four is being played at Lucas Oil, just a couple blocks away, you said it, not one, not two, not three, but four boys state champions will be crowned with our friends at the IHSAA. There isn't a city in this country that could pull that off.
Well, I think that that's absolutely right. I think Indianapolis is the only place in the country that would be able to come together, public-private partnerships with the Pacers, sports and entertainment, with NCAA. I mean, everybody coming together. Now, I'm going to say something, Eddie, that may get me in trouble with the NCAA, but you're right. We're going to crown four champions on semifinal Saturday. And I'll reveal to your listeners that come Saturday night, whoever's playing in that semifinal game, I'm not going to be at Lucas Oil Stadium. I'm going to be right here at Bankers Life Fieldhouse cheering on the Lawrence North Wildcats as they play Carmel in the 4A final. So I'll be here at Bankers Life.
I wouldn't expect anything else from you. Hey, I got to ask you. I read the article that Greg Doyle wrote, which I thought was great, when he palled around with you for a day. And you got to for our listeners who didn't read the article, you got to tell me. I thought it was so funny the way you said it when Mark Emmert, the president of the NCAA, and his people got together. They had this idea that maybe – it might work, you know, to come here to Indianapolis. But he had to get permission. He had to call the governor. He had to call you. He called you. Your response was phenomenal.
Yeah, I just, Greg asked me, how did this all come about? I said, well, I think that Mark had a good conversation with the governor. Then he called me and asked if Indianapolis would be interested, even remotely, in hosting the entire March Madness Division I men's basketball tournament. And as I told Greg, I asked Mark to be put on hold for a few seconds. I did three cartwheels in the mayor's office, got back on the phone and said, yes, we might be interested.
Might be interested.
Yeah, talk to me about it.
Have you heard from mayors across the country, other mayors that said, are you out of your mind taking this on? And then the flip side, I mean, they have to look at you as like, holy smokes, basketball is different in that city than in that state.
Yeah, I think that there's truth to both of those observations, and that is, you know, some people have said, you know, you're taking a big risk here because we're not through the pandemic yet. Yeah, we're all glad that vaccines are now being widely distributed. The governor, you know, has now made vaccines essentially effective March 31 available to everybody over the age of 16. But there's still risks involved, and that's why the NCAA, along with all of the participating organizations, Indy Sports Corp, Visit Indy, all of the Capital Improvement Board, we're going through the most stringent protocols for both fans and teams alike. But the other side of that coin is also true. People from all over the country are saying, this is so cool, it's so great for Indianapolis. And to repeat what I said a little earlier, I do think what it does is it reminds people how unique Indianapolis is, not just as a basketball town, but as a sports town, where people want to come, they want to enjoy the city, they want to see big games on a big time stage, and really just enjoy football, basketball, and everything in between.
My friend, I cannot thank you enough on behalf of all the citizens of Indianapolis for all the work that you and your people have done working, because you had to work with a lot of people. It takes an army to pull this thing off. And it was like last week, it was almost like a human vaccine to our city that people can get out again. Social distancing, wearing the mask, but in getting out, enjoying basketball, enjoying our beloved downtown. They're going to do it again this weekend. Like you said, we see light at the end of the tunnel. We're not through it yet, but we're going to get there. And I think this event has jump-started all of it. I mean, I think me personally, needed it mentally. It needed it mentally to see these games and to see people and be out. And I want to thank you and everybody on your staff for all the hard work that you guys made. Because that's, like you said, there was a risk involved. And I think we're going to come through with what you should be very, very proud of. I know you are proud of Indianapolis, but you should be extra proud.
And I'm so happy for the city. I'm so happy for the city. And as I said, it was a final matter. When we picked Greg up, he was waiting for us over at the Indy Star, and we were running a little late. And he got in the car, and I, of course, immediately apologized. I said, Greg, I'm sorry we're running 10 minutes late. But I said, I'm not going to lie to you. I said, we're running late because we got stuck in traffic, and it's the greatest sight I've seen in the last year. And he laughed, of course. But you're absolutely right. The weather was picture perfect. The crowds were great. Everyone was enjoying it. Basketball dominated the conversations as well as attending the events themselves. So I think all of Indianapolis should be proud, and I couldn't be happier for our city.
Mayor, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Patrick, there he is. I think he's the best mayor in the country. And how about that, Patrick? How many mayors do you know that the night the Final Four is in his city, he's going to go watch the state championship game? He is the best. He's real, and he should get a lot of credit for what we're enjoying this weekend. Patrick, I'm going from his honor to you. Back to you, partner.
All right, Eddie, thank you, and completely agree with those sentiments. We are very lucky to have him. The city is as well, and what a spotlight for Indianapolis. And as those two touched on, you'll have the Final Four going on at Lucas Oil Stadium. You'll have the high school state championships going on at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. So these two just terrific buildings, state-of-the-art buildings, are going to be hosting massive games a week from now. And, of course, Bankers Life Fieldhouse has been a huge part of the NCAA tournament as well. They will continue to host Sweet 16 games today. So if you are in town for those, we certainly welcome you. Best of luck to your team, whether they're playing today or tomorrow, and perhaps into early next week. And maybe we'll even see you back here at Lucas Oil Stadium if things go extremely well this weekend. That'll be next weekend. Thanks again to Eddie and the mayor for that conversation. Some terrific insight there. We've got Jeremiah Johnson coming up in a little bit. This is Pacers Weekly, presented by PetSmart. Welcome back to Pacers Weekly, presented by PetSmart, where you can order food, treats, and more online with same-day delivery, or try PetSmart's free curbside pickup. A rare weekend without the Pacers, but if there ever was a weekend for that to happen, this one makes a lot of sense. The NCAA tournament, of course, in town, Bankers Life Fieldhouse. It's still extremely busy, as busy as it has been in years, the NCAA tournament. Of course, you will have the state finals, as Eddie and the mayor were just discussing, coming up next weekend. And the Pacers have made a few stops there and will be making more stops there in the month of April. Pacers.com/tickets. You can visit that site and make sure you are at the Fieldhouse for these key games coming up. We all wish we had a crowded Bankers Life Fieldhouse. Hopefully that will be coming. But for now, this is a pretty unique experience. If you're a Pacers fan, I think you're going to want to say that you did this at least once if you haven't been there for one of these games in this era. And the ushers, the entire Fieldhouse, do a terrific job of keeping that environment safe. Pacers.com/tickets. They're socially distanced. You're going to need to wear your mask except when you're actively eating or drinking. And they are social distance compliant, health and safety protocol compliant. But Pacers.com/tickets is how you can be in the building. There are a ton of games coming up, and that includes Wednesday, March 31st. That's the next one. That's against the Miami Heat. That's always a significant game. The Pacers have beaten them twice in Miami, and they did that last weekend. So they'll have that tiebreaker on their side. But more intrigue because Victor Oladipo was traded there at the trade deadline. So this could be Oladipo's first game against his former team. Pacers.com/tickets is how you can be in the building for that one. Or as I said, plenty of chances still coming up in April. In early to mid-May, the season comes to a completion on the 16th. The final home game is May 15th, and then have those play-in games, that play-in tournament, and then the NBA playoffs will shortly follow that. We're about a month behind the calendar schedule due to COVID, but the playoffs will commence and take part as usual in late May. Head to PacersTeamStore.com where you can refresh your Pacers look. They have just released those new launch earned edition jerseys. Those are the gold jerseys with the pinstripes. They're sort of a modern take on those late 90s, early mid-2000 gold pinstripes jerseys. I think a really nice refresh done on those. I don't know if you agree with me, but when I was growing up, those were my favorite Pacer uniforms, those gold pinstripe jerseys. I think everybody loved them, even if they weren't your favorite. A lot of good ones to pick from. The Flojos, of course, were popular in that era. PacersTeamStore.com is how you can check those out. Also, if you go on a game night, there's a game night special every single night, whether the game is home or road. And you can also visit in person at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. And while you've got the browser pulled up, make sure to head over to Pacers.com. Our team, our digital team, does terrific work over there. Weed Hotchkiss has a story on Indiana's win last night over the Dallas Mavericks. A big one, a 109-94 victory for Indiana. It's their fourth out of five. That's the first time they've won four out of five since the first five games of the year. When we return, we'll chat with Jeremiah Johnson, Pacers TV host and sideline reporter, joins us live on Pacers Weekly, presented by PetSmart. We're wrapping up Pacers Weekly, presented by PetSmart. I'm Pat Boylan. If you miss any of this show, make sure you check out this show and its podcast version. Just search Pacers Sound wherever you get your podcasts, SoundCloud, iTunes, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. It is all there. So too is the Sideline Guys podcast. Jeremiah Johnson and I record that weekly. He's with us now. Chris Denary was on our most recent episode, and when we taped on Tuesday, we talked about, I use this specific terminology, but we all talked about this kind of feeling, JJ, like the pivot point of the season. You've gone through this gauntlet of schedule. It starts to lighten up just a little bit, and this is where the Pacers really need to start making up some ground. Well, a good start to that. Indiana, since we taped that, has won two in a row. Four of their last five for the first time since the first five games of the year. What stood out to you about this recent stretch of play and what has been improved?
It starts with the defensive end of the floor, and I think it then also you have to single out Miles Turner. So what this team had been struggling with in the February and maybe even early March had been stopping teams. It just seemed like so many second or third best players on the opposition had big nights, and we hadn't seen that as much. And I think the Pacers have been really good on the road all season, but that weekend sweep in Miami, I think, was maybe something that we'll look back on as a little bit of a turning point, because they won both of those games in different ways. And I think Chris has mentioned it a lot on our broadcast that the Pacers were so good if they outshot their opponent, and if they shot a lower field goal percentage, then they often lost those games. And you can't just rely on hot shooting nights to win you games, and that's why I really like that second win in Miami. It was great for a number of reasons, and then to carry that over and get a hard fought, maybe closer than expected, but a good win against Detroit, and then go win at Dallas on Friday. I think they're starting to build a little bit of momentum, and players can't look ahead to the next couple of weeks, but we're allowed to do that, and the schedule does lighten up a little bit, so there's a real opportunity to make a real run up the standings in the next 2 weeks.
Jeremiah Johnson is with us. Something that I think is fairly significant, I'm curious if you agree or not. Over these last five games, the Pacers have won four. You've had games where Caris LeVert has looked terrific, like on Wednesday. They needed every single one of those 28 points, and he hits the biggest shot of the night. Games like last night where he goes 4 of 14, 10 points. He's clearly still in progress, trying to get back to his 100% self, but perhaps that suggests you're winning in those games where he scores 28. You're winning in those games where he scores 10. Perhaps that suggests, A, just his presence out there is significant, and B, the Pacers as a team are starting to round into form too as well, not just Caris LeVert.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but I didn't watch that game thinking Caris LeVert had an off night. Now, true, some shots didn't go down, but he did a lot of other things. Early on, he was creating for his teammates. He was getting into the passing lanes. Just his presence, even if he doesn't score a lot of points, it really helps everyone else. And so he's not going to be leading the team in field goal percentage. I think more often than not, maybe you'll look down at the end of the night and he'll make about, you know, 40 to 45% of his shots. And I think that's okay. And I think it's the confidence that he has, the explosiveness that he has, that maybe this team had been lacking. I've just been impressed by his addition and his demeanor, and also someone that has been a really good scorer in his career. he almost had to be prodded to do more scoring on this team with this group. He tried to ease into things, and I heard a number of teammates say, we want you to be more selfish. We want you to do more things to be yourself. And so with that constant encouragement, he's going to be willing and ready to take the big shot, and he did that against the Pistons on Wednesday.
I'm going to ask you about the game coming up on Monday here in a moment, so I don't want people to think I'm skipping over it. But we won't get a chance to talk to you on this show until, of course, next week. And that Miami game kind of stands out as a big one on the calendar.
It does. I just so wish it could be a normal year and we could have 16,000 fans providing atmosphere. However many are in the building, they will no doubt be providing the atmosphere. We'll try to do the best we can to hype it up on Fox Sports Indiana. And actually Wednesday, Bally Sports Indiana. It'll be the first game under our new logos and name. And so it'll be worth watching. I think we've got some exciting things planned. It'll look and feel just a little bit different. And then you've got Victor Oladipo playing for the Miami Heat against the Pacers. I don't know if you need any more motivation. Did you see, Pat? I had to ask for the video just to take another look. Did you see T.J. McConnell on Wednesday night?
I did see T.J. McConnell on Wednesday night.
Okay. Well, if you didn't, you can go look for yourself. And I don't know. I'm suggesting a spot shadow, and maybe that's part of the pregame tease on Wednesday, but I don't know that I'll win that argument.
Yeah, we've got about 30 seconds here. Let's look in the direction of Monday. A rare weekend off, then Washington on the road.
Yeah, just continue the momentum that you have. It's been so tough, I think, to be on the road for three, to come home for one, and then immediately go back on the road again. This weekend, they decided to go to Dallas and then come home for a couple of days, or actually just a day and a half, and then they'll leave on Sunday to go to Washington, D.C. But I think this would be a great cap to this very stressful, strenuous, difficult stretch after the All-Star break. If you can get this win and just kind of catapult yourself into that game against Miami, you'll feel really good about yourself. You're getting closer to the 500 mark. You've got to contain Bradley Beal. The Pacers and Wizards will be familiar with each other over the next, you know, month and a half. They have three games yet to play, and you hope that the Pacers can just take care of business on Monday.
Jeremiah Johnson starts on Fox Sports Indiana at 6:30 each of the next two games, Monday and Wednesday. JJ, thanks for the time, and we will see you there and then.
Pat, have a great weekend. Enjoy a rare Saturday night and Sunday off.
You as well. That'll wrap it up for this week's Pacers Weekly. Hey, thanks to our producer, Eddie Garrison. I'm Pat Boylan. You can catch us on our radio coverage at 6:30 as well. You can be in the building by visiting pacers.com/tickets. We'll talk to you next Saturday morning.